So, just about 17 minutes past eight. Let's continue on with the escalating trade war between Washington and Beijing, seeming to have all sorts of unintended consequences for Canada following the arrest of China's top telecommunications executive, Meng Wanzhou, who was arrested in Canada on the 1st of December. Two Canadians were detained in China since then for endangering, allegedly, national security. Clearly, Canada is in a strained position between two global superpowers. But even if you take the US factor out of the equation, you probably expect some sort of response from China if such an important business figure was held. And we're also hearing reported from the BBC that a popular tourist attraction has become the latest Chinese company to show solidarity with Huawei's chief finance officer. So Shennong Mountain Scenic Park in eastern Henan province says it will waive the $9.40 equivalent ticket fee for anyone carrying a Huawei phone. That's an indication of just how much this is raising public sentiment in China over this issue. Let's bring in Mr. John Aspiri, news producer of Global News Online in Canada, for another perspective. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, it's not just a question of economic retaliation when two Canadian citizens are being held in China allegedly for endangering national security. Can you tell us a bit more about that response?
Well, we have two Canadians, as you mentioned. Michael Spavor is one of them. He's sort of known with having done work with North Korea. He was, I guess, best known for helping arrange basketball star Dennis Rodman's visit to North Korea. He's been detained, as you mentioned, under the term of endangering national security, which, of course, sounds, you know, that wording can be interpreted as rather vague. And I guess that's sort of where, you know, the obvious concerns are that this is seen as retaliation. I guess, you know, part of it is whether it is or not, you know, perception sort of becomes reality. And I think for a lot of people, there's a chill in terms of the international community in Canada about more retribution and, you know, what could be happening with what is one of Canada's largest trading partners.
I mean, you mentioned North Korea before. It seems North Korea-esque, doesn't it? The idea of holding foreign nationals on the basis of endangering national security, a fairly vague charge that seems to have an indefinite outcome. How does China get away with that sort of charge, as it's also been trying to portray itself as a global leader in yet another speech by President Xi Jinping?
Well, I mean, that's very much the question. I think a lot of people in Canada, I think average Canadians, this story really kind of sideswipe them. We don't necessarily put a lot of thought necessarily into Chinese Canadian relations. We share a border with the U.S. and obviously there's a lot of cultural ties. You know, we speak the same language, so the U.S. is rather front of mind when we think of other countries. But China's kind of less so. So I think it's been kind of a wake-up call for a lot of Canadians about kind of the delicate nature of this relationship and having to kind of navigate this relationship, while also now also having to deal with the U.S. So we definitely feel like sort of a young kid between two feuding parents kind of thing, and not quite sure what to do.
Let's just reflect a little bit on the other detainee, who is a former Canadian diplomat, Michael Kovrig, now has been working for the Brussels-based non-profit conflict prevention organization, the International Crisis Group, seeking a meeting with Chinese authorities to explain what exactly he was supposed to be doing. Is there any sense that of any potential wrongdoing at all by these two individuals?
Not that is apparent. No, it feels like this is a guy who was relatively well respected in his field. You know, he's very familiar with China, speaks Mandarin. He was involved in Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's arranging a trip to Hong Kong. Seems like, you know, it is tough to see, you know, on its face what the concerns may be. Obviously, there's a lot we don't know, but it does feel like this is a retaliatory move. A lot of people feel that way, and, you know, as I mentioned, kind of perception becomes reality in this kind of space where there is now just this growing perception. And Even in the U.S. now, there's talk of a potential travel advisory for American sort of business people and dignitaries visiting China. And that certainly, you know, feels the case in Canada as well, that a visit to China, what are possible consequences? So it's something that has the community, you know, diplomat community in Canada kind of on edge, and also thinking what could potentially be down the road in terms of further consequences, in terms of endangering this relationship.
Yeah, certainly we're seeing reports of Canadian tourism organizations pausing marketing in China. There are those sort of impacts being felt. But on the serious humanitarian side of this, I mentioned an indefinite timeline before. Is there anything that's coming out officially on when we can hope to see some sort of breakthrough on this standoff?
You know, it's timelines are always so hard to pin down with these kind of things. I know, obviously, it's a foreign affairs here in Canada have made this a very high priority. It's not just about China, but it's about, you know, the country's global reputation. But timelines are kind of in short supply right now in terms of when something like this could happen.
Should the U.S. be playing an active role? We suffered a similar situation, albeit a different outcome, with China's retaliatory response over THAAD missile defense here in South Korea. And there was a months-long period of effective economic sanctions by China. And I remember saying at the time that the U.S. could perhaps have done more to dissuade China. What about in Canada's case now? Are there calls for the U.S. to step in and help bring this to a speedier conclusion?
Well, I guess, you know, the question is, you know, given kind of the frosty nature of the relationship between U.S. and China and some concerns about just the political sphere in the U.S. in general, is that help that Canada wants? Canada does sort of feel like it's caught between two places, two countries. So there is that concern. I know the U.S. obviously has expressed outrage at this and have expressed concern about their own citizens visiting China. But in terms of them playing an active role, I don't know if the word active is quite the word, but if there may be sort of more our use of soft power to kind of make progress.
We know there have been U.S. concerns about Huawei, and I just wonder how much they are shared in Canada, especially right now. Is there any sense that perhaps it wasn't quite worth arresting this executive in the first place?
Yeah, there's been a lot of that concern. I think for a lot of sort of average Canadians, Huawei was kind of very much below the radar. It was a company, a brand that people are familiar with. Quite funny, quite ironic, for a lot of Canadians, they know it as it's one of the sponsors of one of the major hockey telecasts here in Canada, which, hockey being the number one sport, it's one of the presenting sponsors. So it's sort of, that's been a strange way that for a lot of Canadians know it as the sponsor for the hockey program. So they only had that kind of tangential connection to it. Now, obviously, it's become much more front of mind. And all these questions about, the technology and security concerns. And obviously endangering, a larger trade relationship with China as well. So it's been quite interesting here in Canada, where a company that we haven't given too much thought to has all of a sudden become very front of mind. Meng Wanzhou has sort of become a minor celebrity here now, and there are people who drive by her house here in Vancouver now on a regular basis, and it's become sort of a spot. She's, we hear reports of her being spotted around the city, and it's made the company and kind of our relationship to China much more front of mind.
Well, certainly there's a significant Chinese population, as you very well know, in Canada and in the Vancouver area, particularly. We'll see how this plays out. We know, as you suggested there, that Meng is out on bail. She'll have to stay in Canada until February's court hearing on her extradition to the US, which no doubt will bring about even more consequences depending on how that goes. John Asprey, thank you very much for getting us up to date with the feeling there.
Thank you very much for your time.